We are joined right now by a national NBA writer for the LA Times. He also is a friend of the program. Dan Wojcicki joins us. Dan, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing?
So good. Really, really good. Dan, good to have you back. There is so much to talk about in the NBA, but let me start right here. Are you prepared, Dan, for a world where Dwight Howard is now a Laker fan favorite?
I am not. It is like everybody who walked into the arena got like the Men in Black, like sort of like swipey thing in front of their face. You know, the crowd for Dwight Howard, starting really on Friday against Utah when he had 2 points only, but made a bunch of hustle plays. He's wearing this crazy small uniform. Like, I mean, the jersey is like a youth extra large.
Right.
You know, he's lost all this weight. He doesn't really look like himself. And he's out there doing all these little things and making all these hustle plays. He's never calling for the ball in the post. And, you know, three games really, but the last two home games, I mean, it has been sort of like the Dwight Howard he's been like third in line behind LeBron and Anthony Davis in terms of fan support. It's been pretty crazy. We'll see how long it can last. There's some skepticism out there, but so far so good, at least on that gamble.
Dan Wojcicki joining us. Now, before we get into what he did last night and whether or not he could sustain something like this, you were ahead of the curve. You were noticing how much he meant to the Lakers after the Utah game when he didn't even score until the final minutes. What did you see in that game that made you think that he might be able to help this team out?
I mean, he just gave them a physicality, you know, and kept some loose balls alive, and it just was productive, you know, and did it in such small doses that it made sense. I think, to me, the big challenge for guys like Dwight Howard, right, like all NBA players who, for whatever reason, whether it's injuries or age, you know, for guys like Carmelo Anthony, like this has proven to be hard to, like, move into these little complementary roles and figure out ways to kind of be a star in your role, to steal a coaching term. It's not been easy for a lot of guys. Most guys fail at it. And I think to see Dwight kind of humble himself and play this way and to play kind of, you know, the types of minutes that you would normally, you know, like they're like Brian Cardinal minutes, you know what I mean? Where you're diving for loose balls and you're challenging shots and you're outworking other people for rebounds. You know, to see that, I think on Friday against the Jazz, like it made a huge difference in that game. You know, what he did last night against Charlotte was showier. It was more tangible. Obviously he had points, he had rebounds, he had blocks. The Hornets have a pretty bad interior kind of offense and defense, so the fact that he had a game like that wasn't stunning against them. But I think, you know, he's really stayed in his lane. He hasn't tried to do too much. He's made a couple knuckleheaded decisions, but they're pretty minor compared to the positive things he's done.
Dan Wojcicki joining us. You know, you mentioned Carmelo Anthony. I had Steven Jackson on our podcast last week, and he's firmly convinced that Carmelo has been blackballed from the NBA, and he'll use that phrase if you ask him. Is there anything to that, do you think? Why do you think that Carmelo is not playing? Because of an inability to accept a role or something else?
Well, I think that's exactly it. I think the thing that he does best, you know, score the basketball, is the thing that's valued least in the NBA right now, right? Like, there are a lot of good scorers that don't have jobs. You know, Carmelo doesn't have a job. Jamal Crawford doesn't have a job. I mean, there's a guy who scored 50 points in his last NBA game, you know, who's not working right now. I think that the league and the style of play in the NBA is you don't need isolation scorers so much as you do just spot-up shooters, you know. And I mentioned Charlotte. I mean, that's a team that's going to be in a lot of games just because they're going to chuck a bunch of threes. And, you know, who knows who gets hot. And if somebody gets hot and starts making shots, then – you know, they'll be in games. I think it's just easier to find those guys than it is someone like Carmelo Anthony, who's so used to, like, you know, being a focal point. And I think it's hard. You spend your entire career in the spotlight, being the center of an offense, being the most important player on your team, or at least certainly one of the top two or three, to go into a situation where you're ninth. I think it disrupts rhythm. We've seen way more players fail at it than succeed. I don't think it's a blackballing. I think it's just kind of the league looking around and saying, why try something that we know probably isn't going
to
work?
We're talking to Dan Wojcicki. All right, so the Lakers, Dan, were manhandled by the Clippers on opening night. They had a really nice win over Utah. Then you got last night's win over Charlotte. What do you think about what you've seen from them so far, and how do you like the fit of LeBron and Anthony Davis on the floor together?
I think that's the most interesting, Jim. I mean, I think 2-1 seems about right for where they should be. You know, I think the Clippers are probably the best team in the NBA that right now, and they've got Paul George waiting for them. But I think the thing that's been most interesting to watch with the Lakers is kind of how much LeBron has deferred to Anthony Davis. You know, he said that in the summer. He said that, you know, they wanted to play through Anthony Davis. And I think people in the media, myself included, said, sure, you know, you would say that. That makes total sense. I mean, but, you know, this is LeBron freaking James. Like, you know, he's going to get his. And through three games, you know, two of those three games, he has very much been the point guard distributor. I mean, he only scored, I think, 4 points in the first half yesterday. Those points came very late in the half. You know, we were kind of poking around trying to figure out the last time he went scoreless in a half. I believe it had only happened twice in his career. And, you know, they were doing it because, you know, you load up on LeBron a little bit and you just kind of let Anthony Davis go. You know, I think, to me, that's been the biggest thing is how much he's used AD to take on this bigger role on offense. And I think it's in part, you know, certainly. I mean, part of it, I think, is it makes sense, right? Like, Anthony Davis is a really good player. He gets points around the basket. He's pretty efficient. You know, what's the point of having Anthony Davis if you don't feature him? And I think the secondary point of this, Jim, is that, you know, is LeBron has always been a guy who's taken the long view to seasons. And, you know, the fact that he doesn't have to carry this massive offensive load every night, I think is probably good for him physically. It's probably good for him mentally. And for a team that wants to go deep in the playoffs, I think keeping him as fresh as possible that way, it can only help.
See, I see that exactly like that, and you know he does too. Dan Wojcicki is joining us. Go back to your point about the Clippers being right now the best team in the NBA. Before you were an LA Times national NBA writer, you were a Clippers beat writer. So How far has this organization come in the time since you first started to cover them?
Well, I mean, I think the Clippers had some great players, right? They had Chris Paul, they had Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan was an all-NBA player. When you see Kawhi Leonard in a Clippers uniform, it's just different level. He looks like an all-time great player right now. The way that he kind of can command the ball on offense, the way that he's unstoppable. I mean, he's so big and so strong, and his mid-range game is so good. Poor guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope try to guard him. You see the Warriors try to guard him. Phoenix did a decent job. They just double-teamed him every time he had the ball. He's just a different level of player, and then you add that guy who has seemingly the right attitude and the right sort of demeanor for what the Clippers had built last year as sort of this, you know, for lack of a better term, just like a pain-in-the-ass team, right, that would just like bulldog people up and down the court. You add these things together, and you get this fit, and then you look over on the sidelines, and you see this other 6'8", all-NBA defensive team, all-NBA player, and Paul George just waiting to get out there, and it's scary. You know, that's when you talk to scouts and executives about the Clippers, that's the word that comes up most, is scary. This team hasn't been at its best yet. It's only played three games, obviously. Hiccup in Phoenix against a team in the Suns that deserve a lot of credit for how they've come out of the gates this season. But you know, the Clippers have just been, to me, they just look like the real deal when it comes to a contender, a different level than everybody else in the West. We'll see how that plays out over the course of the season with things like load management and injuries and stuff like that. But they've got the goods, and I think everyone around the league kind of knows that already.
We're talking to Dan Wojcicki for a few more moments. You mentioned Golden State. Now, everybody expected Golden State would take a step back this year.
Yeah.
Without Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston moved on, Klay Thompson's out. We knew they'd take a step back, but did you expect this?
No. They're bad right now. That's maybe underselling how it is. Defensively, they're a total mess. You can guard them in ways that you haven't been able to guard them in the last six seasons. You know, you can blitz Stephen Curry. You're not that worried about what Draymond Green can give you in offense. And while D'Angelo Russell can flash and do some things, he's not Klay Thompson. Doesn't draw the same sort of attention that Klay did. You know, they're going to need some of their young players to take real big steps real quickly to keep them in the playoff hunt. You know, and that's a crazy thing to say about that team, you know, up two games into the season. But I think everybody kind of realizes that you know, in the West. They don't have right now the talent to keep up. You look at their depth. You look at the guys they're playing. They're one of the youngest teams in the league. Steph Curry's their oldest player, Jim, you know, which is kind of a wild thing to think about. But he's going to be great, and he's going to have nights where he carries them to wins. But he can't guard everybody. Draymond Green can't guard everybody. Good teams are just going to shoot layups against him and feast, you know. And I think they're in for a long year. Steve Kerr said it. You know, the last 5 years we've been in fantasy land. You know, the NBA isn't that easy. You know, for most teams it's like this, and they're gonna find that out. I think more often than not, getting blown out like they did against the Clippers, getting blown out like they did in their second game. I believe against the Thunder, like these are things that are going to happen to them this year. It's going to be a long season.
Got about a minute. Dan, let me ask you this. We've talked in the past about your ongoing series. We talked to players about their best game ever. Mm-hmm. The latest addition is with Draymond Green. He's had a lot of amazing games. What did he pick as his best game?
He picked a game his senior year of college against Gonzaga, which I think is kind of funny. It speaks to, and it was a game I think he scored 30-plus points. It speaks to, I think, you always hear, like, rappers want to be athletes, athletes want to be rappers. You always want to do what you're not. And here's this guy, this all-around player, this defensive wizard, picking the game where he scored the most points and was couldn't be guarded. You know, I think guys always kind of gravitate towards their college games. Like, those games always mean more, college and high school games. There's more sort of personal sort of pride at stake. It's not as professional, obviously. But I think it's funny to hear a guy like Draymond Green, who I don't think of as a scorer. I expected, you know, a playoff triple-double or something like that, or maybe a game where he locked down LeBron James to be his answer. And to hear him talk about a game where Gonzaga tried, you know, every defender on the team against him and none of it worked. It's kind of funny to hear, like, you could hear sort of in another life, you know, he'd be a guy who would like to go out there and shoot a bunch of shots, score a bunch of points. I mean, I bet right now the Warriors would love to have that player. I don't think he exists anymore in 2019, but it's always a fun series. I really like kind of talking to guys about that.
It is fun. It's a great series. I was going to say in another life, or maybe in this life, they'd love to see that too. He's a national NBA writer for the LA Times, good friend of the program, Dan Wojcicki, my guest. Dan, thanks so much. Great to have you back.
All right, Jim. Talk to you soon.
Do it soon. Dan Wojcicki, excellent, excellent NBA writer, national NBA writer. All right, still to come next hour, we talk Vikings football with Alexander Madison.